Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
Alrighty, welcome back. Mike and Mihailu back again this week. Stefan, you had a great radio show this weekend. You and Ryan Norton had a good time.
Yeah, very much so. And the FCC did not ban us.
That's good.
And people listened.
That is great.
I call that a bonus.
That is very much a bonus. Especially now, because you can't say too much anymore. You see a lot of these high-profile conservative voices on you know, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, the radio, they're just getting shut down and terminated, canceled, if you will.
Well, that's the thing. It's like when it comes to cancel culture, of course, they'll come after conservatives and no one really cares on right. our side of the yep. spectrum. But, you know, these woke radical progressives, these liberals, they eat their own.
Yep.
They will go after their own because they've set this impossible bar and standard for everyone else and they can't live by it themselves. So they're always stuck when someone on the left makes an inappropriate comment, things of that nature. They're always like going under this dilemma of, well, wait a minute. We canceled all of these people. Now we have to go after them, too, even though they're on our side of the political spectrum.
Speaking of people getting targeted these days, Joe Biden can't get out of his own way. And people are actually turning on him, believe it or not. Some of these mainstream media sources and stations are turning on him.
But can you imagine the White House, though, thinking, okay, the entire planet knows that Joe Biden is basically like the crazy, drunk, incoherent uncle at Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
So they're probably thinking, okay, got this great idea. Hear me out. Great idea. We're going to put him on a bike. He's going to look youthful. We're going to throw a helmet on him so parents can't complain that, oh, if he falls and cracks his noggin, that's the reason why he's a little slow of late. But can you imagine the actual conversation? Someone had to have the talk of, we're going to put this guy in a bike.
But here's the worst part. Like, it's not even safe putting the guy in a stroller at this point. Like, things can go wrong. And whether he says something stupid, he just rolls out of the stroller. I mean, this video on the bike, it's, man, I mean, he's going 0 miles an hour.
And then he also, what's even more scary, though, after he gets up, boom, he finds like a six-year-old girl, basically. That was his safe space. Like, that was even scary. But you know what, though? People can say what they want about Donald Trump,
yep.
but he actually took the high road. I mean, the stunt, it backfired badly on President Biden. He falls off his bike. He got his foot stuck in a pedal. And if that isn't a metaphor for his presidency, I don't know what is. But actually, President Trump, he took the high road and he wished Joe Biden well.
But no, we do hope that Biden's okay. Because that was a hard fall. That was scary. That was a hard. Did anybody see it? Well, we wish him well in that respect.
He took the high road.
He did.
He wished him well.
He did. He did. He got a little jab in there, though.
Just a touch.
A touch. But at least he wasn't a jerk. I mean, he did wish him well. And honestly, Stefan, I think America is wishing this guy well because he's starting to fall apart really, really bad. And Americans are suffering because of it. And it's really scary. I mean, this is our president.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like, there's no question President Biden is suffering from some semblance of a disease that limits his mental capacities, whether it's Parkinson's, dementia. Like, it's not a joke anymore.
Nope.
He is the president of the United States. And it's doubly worse for President Biden because he's been known to either stretch the truth. I'm a proud graduate of Syracuse University. So is President Biden. You know, he was busted for plagiarism at law school. And you can just count on and on and on over the years of all of the dumb, stupid things that he said. I mean, even going back again, it was days at Syracuse University as a law student where he was accused of plagiarism. So this is nothing new for people in the political world.
Yeah, that's right.
And not at all.
And I'll tell you, this guy... and we're going to play a clip here in a minute, but this guy, I mean, no matter what he does, truly on his feet, sitting down, talking, joking with family and friends, he can't get one piece of it right. right? And I say that standing up, meaning he falls walking onto his plane. Sitting down on a bike, he falls off the bike. At a press conference, says stupid things. At home, probably says stupid things and gets, I mean, some of the stuff he's even said about Hunter Biden too, right? Like, this guy's the most sharp guy I've ever been around.
Yeah, he's
in
not
what world?
He's not a good cast of character or judgment, but here we go. He's been putting his foot in his mouth for generations. And it was actually 17 years ago this month and this week, obviously then Senator Biden, he was shockingly being very kind, inclusive, and sensitive about the very positive impact of Indian Americans in the United States.
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
That's one of my favorite Joe Biden's, when he tells you that he's not joking. I'm serious, man. I'm not joking, right? Like, thanks, Joe.
It's like, sir, that thought bubble, you verbalized that. Like, that was out loud.
It's the scene from Austin Powers where he's talking about the female, the attractive female. And he's like, I didn't say that out loud just now, did I? That's Joe Biden. That's our president. Right?
And again, it goes back many years where, you know, his judgment, his character, the things that he says has been called into question. So it's really no accidents, no surprise that he's basically, you know, fires from the hip, you know, ready, fire, aim. But it's even worse now, though, because you can take that, you know, his penchant for basically saying what's on his mind, as stupid, as politically incorrect as it is, it's just as dumb as it is. And then you combine that stupidity and that recklessness with mental illness or some semblance of dementia. And this is the result of the train wreck that we have in the United States of America.
And it's really freaking sad, because I said this to you guys in the radio Saturday, these people, Stefan, that voted for him, they're the ones suffering the most from this dementia riddled president that we have, right? The people they told they were going to help are getting ruined because this guy has no idea what's going on.
Well, let's turn back the time machine. That was 17 years ago where he glowingly talked about Indian Americans, but it was a year ago, basically, where Joe Biden looked into his crystal ball and he said, I'm laughing as I'm reading this. Joe Biden said the country was going to be just fine and he was ready to take the blame if the economy turned into a raging dumpster fire.
And by the way, talk of inflation, the overwhelming consensus is going to pop up a little bit and then go back down. So again, if it turns out that what I've done so far, what we've done so far, is a mistake, it's going to show.
It's showing, all right.
That's called foreshadowing, Stefan. That is called foreshadowing right there.
It's showing, all right. We have record gas prices. People can't afford, I mean, the basic necessities and groceries, milk, eggs, chicken, things of that nature. They can't afford to pay the rent. They're living off their credit cards. We have record inflation across the country. And you know what? He screwed us royalty. Inflation did not go down just a touch. It didn't go up just a touch. It didn't go back down. It's skyrocketing.
I just said this to my wife yesterday as we were going from supermarket to supermarket to get some things for our fathers for Father's Day. And I said, what do people do if they don't have two nickels to rub together during the holidays, during a random Wednesday night where you want to go get dinner with your kids? What are these people doing? I actually feel terrible for some of these folks in our country that literally cannot go to this. It's either I'm going to put gas in my car or I'm going to get food for my children.
Oh, that's true.
And what do you choose?
That's absolutely real.
Yeah.
Especially among the working poor. Inflation is a stealth tax on the lower and middle class. Mm-hmm. Because if you're extremely wealthy, God bless America. Good for you. I love capitalism. You can weather the storm of inflation. You know, you're tightening your belt. Okay, we're not going to Aspen this year. Maybe we'll just go to the Outer Banks. Right. Okay, that's what wealthy folks do. And that's their choice. They made their money. God bless America. But folks who are poor, you are making that life or death decision. Okay, I'm going to buy baby formula if I can find it. And then do I leave my gas tank on empty? Do I buy
$5 in my gas tank, right?
That's exactly what's happening. Yeah. Well, speaking of gas, I mean, we have to tell you that the language in this next clip, it is really rough. It's raw. It's vulgar, but you have to listen to it. I mean, even, you know, liberal lunatics, they are losing their mind over gas prices. It's not just guys like us.
Yeah.
It's not just families. It's not moms or dads. It's actually people who voted for Joe Biden. They are freaking out over gas prices. And to put things in perspective, though, a lot of these woke radical progressives, yes, I mean, they're living in their mom's basements. They don't have jobs and they cannot afford a $70,000 car. But who do they blame for gas prices? Shockingly, not Joe Biden. In their own words, and it's rough, they blame the radical right.
$98 fucking! I have to decide between buying gas or buying food! And guess who wins? Because I have to get to the job that I need to fucking buy anything at all! That doesn't pay me enough! And people want to donate $1,000 to fucking cats! $98 goddamn at Costco to fill up my tank! $98! $5.50 a tank! $5.50 a gallon! At Costco! $5.50 a gallon at Costco! This is the work of the fucking religious right! Listen to Robert Reich, who clearly, who gives us all of the evidence, about how our poverty is a choice that our government made for us! A CEO is not worth 351 times what I get paid! Ever! Fuck you, religious right, who are doing this and have been doing this to us. Fuck you, profiteering companies. Fuck you, billionaires, stealing us, breaking our backs, stealing from us, profiteering off of us.
Okay. First question.
There's a lot to break down.
First question. What does God have to do with gas prices right now?
I don't know, but I do know that it's $5.50 at Costco.
I did pick up what she was putting down there.
Yes.
I don't even know where to go on that one because it was just so outrageous. And here's the thing. Blame whoever you want at this point, right? But the idea of it has nothing to do with this administration or part of this administration, you just have to be mentally insane at this point. Is that a fair statement?
It is. I mean, how on earth do you blame the religious right, Christianity, God, Jesus, alien Jesus, whatever religion you follow, on rising gas prices? Because there is one entity to blame in the United States, and that is the Biden White House. It's that simple. From day one, he said, I'm going to shut down the Keystone Pipeline. That cost Americans jobs, and it is indirectly leading to higher gas prices.
Yep.
Plain and simple. It is the policy of the Biden administration to inflict as much pain as possible on the American consumer, pain at the pump, so that they have no other choice but to buy a $70,000 electric car. So I think they're actually happy in doubling down on their failed energy policy because in their crazy minds, they think the entire country is going to throw in the keys to their gas-guzzling SUV and then yep. We're all going to drive electric.
Yeah. And again, I look at these folks and the people that can't afford a $70,000 electric car are the lower and the middle class, right? That these people petitioned to get votes from, right? And those are the people that can't afford that car. So what do they do now? They pay $5.50, $8.50, wherever they are, a gallon of gas.
It's insane. And someone who can actually offer some perspective on this, and it's important to bring him in because, you know, the economy and with political races all over the country, all anyone is talking about is the economy, gas prices, inflation, and an expert in that field and all around just good guy. I would call him a good guy and a gentleman and a scholar. Mike Lomas from the Financial Guys. How are you, Mike?
I'm good. I'll take the good guy part. I don't know about the expert part.
So this is an issue, the economy and inflation, that is on the minds of every single person in America because it's not just pain at the pump, Mike. It's also the fact that milk prices are up. Everything is up. And people literally are making the decision whether or not they're going to put gas in their car or put food on the table. So
yeah.
What is, in your opinion, the direct cause of this?
Well, it's changing lives forever, really. I mean, you know, you've got everyday Americans that living paycheck to paycheck prior to this. And now you have things going up 30, 40, 50%, 60% in some cases. So, you know, you guys had me on a few weeks ago and we talked about this. So it's the same old, right? Which is, you know, it starts with the pump. It starts with gas prices. You know, it starts with having to distribute product from one side of America to the other side of America and the increased cost of doing that. And, you know, and then it goes from there. And, you know, there's never been a time in history where we haven't had gas prices higher and everything else not higher. You know, that's the start. And, you know, all we'd have to do, and the scary thing is just increase supply right now. You know, they're talking about another gas holiday, and that does nothing. And people say, well, you always complain about taxes, Mike. I do complain about taxes. And I think these companies are taxed to death and it should go away. But the fact of the matter is, unless you have something that's permanent, prices are not going to change. Unless you have some, I've said this to a client the other day. I said, well, explain to me, give it to me in basic terms. It's okay. You're starving, and I'm going to give you a little bit of maybe a 16th of a strawberry. 1/16th of a strawberry I'll give you. What is that going to do for you? Well, you know, might make you live, what, another hour or two? Maybe a few hours.
If that.
But it's not going to change what you're doing, right? I mean, ultimately, I'd have to give you a lot of strawberries, and better yet, how about I teach you how to make strawberries so you have plenty of supply, right? And then we're able to survive. And so fuel is the same way. It trades on futures markets, and you know, all they're seeing right now, all these traders are seeing low supply, low supply, low supply. So, okay, so then you got higher prices, and of course, yeah, I will say I think you will see things free up a little bit in the fall. When it comes to some of the supply chain issues, mainly because the issues that China was having, where they were just locking people in their house afraid of the flu, they've got a huge economic summit that they do every 5 years, and it's coming up in the fall. And I would be hard to believe. I can't imagine that they're not going to try to go into that with some kind of economic optimism. And so what the Communist Party will do is they'll say, okay, we're going to lock you in your house, and now we're going to unlock you. And we're going to force you to work extra hours to sort of get some of this economy going back again. So I think you're going to see some of the supply chain issues at least start to ease up a little bit in the fall. But higher prices are here to stay. And, you know, ultimately the Fed is trying to increase interest rates to slow down the economy, which they are doing that. I mean, the housing market is changing right now. You know, houses that were on the market for a day, 2 days are now on the market for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And I was talking to a real estate agent this morning. He said, it's hard to believe I would call 3 weeks on the market a slowing economy, but compared to what we had, it is. And, yeah. You know, because now we've got rising interest rates, and, you know, somebody who was looking at a mortgage payment of $700 or $800 is now looking at a mortgage payment of $1,200 or $1,300. And that changes a lot of things for a lot of people.
Mike, real quick too, just on this idea of, you know, the government helping us out and fixing everything like they've always haven't been able to do. I sent you guys a tweet yesterday from a local radio show host talking about, you know, capitalism essentially sucks, right? His idea of why we have these problems in our country is capitalism. And I'm going to throw this question back at you because I know you love to talk about this. Obviously, what we've seen over the last, I don't know, 2 years, trying to rely on the government to help us and make things work better hasn't worked at all, right?
Never.
Never.
It's never, ever worked. It never will work. You know, when you're spending other people's money on other people, there is zero incentive to do the right thing with it. And right. There is not one system in the whole world that's ever been created that's been better than free market capitalism. Nothing is perfect, and that's because human beings aren't perfect, but it's the closest thing to perfection. If you work hard in a free market society, you will get ahead and be better. Now, will all of us be Elon Musk? No. But all of us won't be NBA players either. All of us won't be NHL stars either, right? But the fact of the matter is, if you work hard in that system, you know, it's amazing. You were talking about another radio host. That same radio host is out running commercials and getting paid for them, right?
Right.
It's called capital, right? When it works for them, most of these people are just economically illiterate. You know, they really have not studied what has happened in Venezuela. They, you know, they go, look at how great China is. Yeah, well, China's killed a lot of their own people and locked a lot of their people in their own houses. And they've got, you know, massive poverty over there in China. So, yes, are there people that are rich? Yeah. And there's a lot of people that are poor.
Yeah. And a lot of these professional athletes complain about the injustices in the United States of America. They complain about capitalism. They complain about what a horrible country, what a horrible racist nation America is. And you look at the millions and potentially, depending on the sport, billions of dollars they're making in and from China. A country with some of the most horrific human rights violations, a communist regime. So as much as these hypocrites hate America, they love making that Chinese money. That's for sure.
I can't figure out if they're just dumb or if they're just playing us. You know what I mean? Like, the Clintons are playing us. You know, they're not stupid people. They're playing us. They're, oh, I'm going to help the poor. I'm going to help the middle class and, you know, and global warming. And then I'm going to go out and buy my 17th home on the ocean where I'm telling the rising, everybody that the water's rising. And I'm gonna extort money out of my charity foundations and everything else. But they're smart. They know this. They've turned it into a business, right? These people are dumb enough to give them money and dumb enough to follow them. Some of these professional athletes, I don't know, are they just stupid? Do they not understand what's really truly going on? Or is a LeBron James really smart? And he's saying, well, I'm just gonna play it up. I'm gonna do the system. I'm gonna tell you what you want to hear, and then I'm going to sell Nike sneakers and put my $100 million in my bank account.
I do think part of it, though, Mike, is these people, they make their money, and then they all of a sudden now get on their high horse, and they're like, wait a minute now, you know, we should pay attention to the environment. We should, you know, do all these different things for rights and all stuff. After they make their money, so the rest of us schmucks get stuck paying the taxes and paying more for things like electric cars, but they already have all the money. And now it's like, now they're on their high horse. I think that's part of it too.
No, yeah. Well, I wish they would always look at the results of what they're preaching, right? That's the key. I mean, we all want better things. I really believe that Democrats and Republicans want better lifestyles. But, you know, what just drives us nuts, I think, on the right is that we look at the results of big government. And then we say, well, wait a minute, where has that been tried? Let's take a country. Okay, well, that's been a miserable failure. Well, let's take a state. Well, New York, California, going bankrupt, highest poverty rates, highest crime rates. Okay, let's take a city. Okay, well, where's the biggest amount of government involvement? Right? The cities are massive failures now, right? So there isn't anywhere where we can look and say, wow, big government, them getting involved has been better off. And every single time, here we are again, higher fuel prices. Every single time the government's going to say they're going to get involved and help you, make sure, watch your wallet, understand that you're going to get screwed, because every single time that's a result of bigger government. And the Republicans do it too a lot of times. The Republicans will say, look, and I'm going to cut your taxes, less government, and then they get in office and they do just the opposite. It's there. Well, this time government will be okay, right? Most of the time, if you just leave us alone, we're all going to be better off for it.
Amen to that.
Yeah, Trent. Well said, Mike.
Well, greatly appreciate you joining us on the Mike and Mahaly podcast. Thank you very much for those insights. Much appreciated.
Have a great show, guys.
Thanks. All right, thanks. You know, it's so true, though, that it's an interesting anecdote where people selling homes, where all of a sudden you're thinking 3 weeks, wow, that's a downturn. But a lot of people are saying we are on the brink of a recession because of Biden's policies.
And I think it's what you said before, Stefan. It's everything, right? Everything is going up. I do home and auto insurance. That's going up tremendously. You look at gas. You look at food. You look at, day-to-day used cars. I mean, look at how expensive it is to buy a used car these days. It's like impossible.
But here's the thing, though. The American people know, like, they're not being fooled, because what do Democrats and the Biden administration do? They go right to their playbook. If there's a problem, you have to find a boogeyman. You have to find some evil character to blame for your problems. It's not our policies. It's not the things that we've enacted within legislation. It's always some horrible figure. And who's the horrible one that gets blamed for everything? I mean, Putin,
right?
War in Ukraine. Yeah. But national media, they are not buying it. The people aren't buying it. National media is not buying it. I mean, look right here, Face of the Nation on CBS. They basically called BS on the fact that Biden is saying that Putin is the reason in the war in Ukraine for rising gas prices and the economy tanking.
So from the beginning of the pandemic through now, and as you can see, the tick up began a good year before the war in Ukraine began. A number of economists, including at the San Francisco Fed, have said that the tremendous fiscal spending that went underway, the $6 trillion in 2 years, did add to that, including, as you can see right on there, the $2 trillion that the Biden administration pushed through in the spring of 2021. So when people look at that and they say, well, the White House told us that inflation would be transitory. The White House told us we could go through with this kind of spending, we'd be fine. Even when Democrats within your own party were warning this would add to inflation. How do you win credibility here to the public and say this time we're not wrong?
Well, you just have to look around the world today to recognize that the two principal drivers of inflation are the pandemic and Putin.
Here's what I'd like to say, too. First off, again, for the millionth time, the pandemic especially due to the people that are in your pocket, like Tony Fauci and others, is your doing. You know, Andrew Cuomo, what he did in New York, that was his doing, not Donald Trump, by the way.
And it's not just with the economy. It's killing seniors, putting seniors and the elderly stricken with COVID back into nursing homes around then healthy seniors and killing them.
Killing the businesses, right? Not a human being, but actual businesses in this area. How many of those did we see? I just saw another local restaurant shut down on Transit Road. Like, this is the stuff that you guys created. And then I'm not to say that Biden created Putin, but I do find it very interesting. When Trump was saying, stay your ass in Russia or we're going to do something to you, he didn't move. Then Biden comes along. What was the term he used?
It depends on what they do, basically, is going to be our response. It depends on what Russia does. Yeah. Then we'll make a decision. Yeah. It's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Yeah. It depends on how much you steal from the grocery store, if we maybe will charge you or not.
Right.
Like that's exactly what it was.
It's how far into Ukraine do you invade? And then we'll make a determination. But here's the crazy thing. That reporter from CBS, I mean, it's almost like you're talking with a pointer to a three-year-old. And this on CBS Face of the Nation, they actually showed the chart. Here's where inflation went up. And much later, Ukraine was invaded by Putin. And this talking head from the Biden administration still doubled down and was so focused on his talking points that he was just shown that the invasion of Ukraine has nothing to do with the spike in inflation. Yet the first thing out of his mouth was, it's the pandemic and Putin.
It's, again, to Mike's point, is it idiocy, or are these people truly drinking the Kool-Aid and think that's every time what it is?
They're doubling down.
Yeah.
They're doubling down on it.
Yeah.
I mean, they actually think in their minds, though, that the economy is in great shape. I mean, and having worked for former Congressman Chris Collins, he would always say, just because someone says something is so, does it make it so?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the left, they just keep thinking, if we keep repeating these talking points that the pandemic and Putin is the reason why gas prices are up and it's the reason why the economy's in the tank, well, that's got to be the reason why we're all suffering. But it's unbelievable because everyone's paying more for gas, milk, eggs, the whole nine yards. It doesn't make any sense. But Biden's own Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, she still says the economy is just fine.
I expect the economy to slow. It's been growing at a very rapid rate as the labor market has recovered and we have reached full employment.
The labor market is recovered and we're doing just fine.
I don't know what country she's living in. And here, Stefan,
or
you know,
planet.
Yeah, that's a good point too. She might not be from here. That's the other thing that drives me nuts. Like, this is now, the economy is the new COVID, right? We're just going to keep saying bullshit over and over and over again until people just believe it, right? I just interviewed Dr. Paul Alexander last week, and he was telling me about this stuff. These people like Fauci, who we're going to move to next, these people knew these PCR tests weren't accurate. They knew the vaccine wasn't what they were pushing out, but they kept saying it, hoping that people would believe it. And guess what? A lot of freaking people believe this crap. Here we are again with the economy. It's not our fault. It's really not a big deal. We're doing great over here in the United States. Best economy in years.
Baghdad Bob.
Right? Best economy in years. Things are running smoothly in our country. Bullshit.
Well, and here's the thing too. It's the same tired playbook for decades, for generations. It's what they know. It's what they, on the other side of the political spectrum, what's what they're good at. Yep. Again, I go back to in the mid-1990s, I believe it was 93, 94, the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, horrific domestic terrorism, and it hit very close to home in Western New York because Tim McVeigh from Pendleton, New York, was from here. And at that time, obviously, in the mid-90s, the interwebs did not exist. Cell phones, for the most part, did not exist. And I distinctly remember President Clinton, who did he blame? Rush Limbaugh. He blamed right-wing talk radio for the rise in extremism. And that is still happening to this day. They always find a boogeyman to blame whenever something goes wrong.
They just did it. The Buffalo shooter was Tucker Carlson's fault. They just did it. What was it, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? They just did that. They blamed Tucker Carlson because some racist pig of a human being drove from outside of Buffalo and to shoot a bunch of African-American people. And that folks, is Tucker Carlson's fault.
But media always minimizes, though, whenever the attacker, the assailant, the sick person, the murderer doesn't fit their narrative. When it comes to the shooting of members of Congress, mm-hmm. Steve Scalise in the baseball field, that individual was a hardcore supporter of Bernie Sanders. Is Bernie Sanders to blame for that shooting? Absolutely not. Mental illnesses. In Wisconsin, gunning down people with a car in a parade. You know, the assailant didn't fit a narrative. It wasn't a gun, and the person wasn't a radical white man,
right?
Which is the typical stereotype that the media loves to be fixated on.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and to that point, you wonder why this crap doesn't get fixed either, right? Because blaming things, it's like business, Stefan, right? It's like parenting, right? If you blame your kids for the reason they're not behaving, it doesn't work, right? You have to come together and fix behaviors by either disciplining, right? Or changing the way you do things. That's how you parent. That's how you teach kids in school, right? You can't just blame the kids or blame the teacher for everything. You got to come together and work together. And if we don't do that in this country, you're going to see this crap happen over and over and over again, and nothing's ever going to get fixed.
Or NyQuil at night. Not that I've ever done that. I've heard from other people friends that NyQuil works. If your kids are getting rambunctious and you got to put them to bed. I just heard that rumor. But speaking of kids and giving them medicine.
Yes.
I think this country is just bonkers. I had a conversation with a relative about it today. It's like, what is just going on with all the different things that we hear? Okay, now, you know, the CDC is telling us that basically five-year-olds need three jabs to be protected from COVID. And they're even talking about giving six-month-old babies the jab. I mean, and you mentioned Anthony Fauci before. He is not, I mean, he's not even doubling down. It's like quadrupling down. Basically still stating this week that if you're indoors, you should still wear a mask.
That when you're in an indoor setting, you should wear a mask, even though the whole world, including the United States and the UK, are just worn out and tired by this outbreak. It isn't over yet. People need to realize it is never going to go back to zero. That's not the nature of this virus.
No shit, Tony. That's why we're moving on, pal. Right. I mean, you know, and you can't make this stuff up. Like, people are worn out. Yeah. We are the people that lost businesses, the people that lost family members with, you know, let's not even get into the fact you mentioned the vaccine before, right, Stefan? We're vaccinating kids. God forbid we let their bodies take care of it. I don't know, the 99.9997% of them that will make it if they get the virus, right? God forbid we let the natural immunity or the just strictly being a five-year-old and having a great immune system. Let's not let that happen. Let's just keep jabbing the hell out of these people. And you're seeing it. I talked to Dr. Paul Alexander about this too. First off, the vaccine was not what they promised in the beginning, number one. Number two, there's more to this vaccine than we even know about, because you're seeing heart problems in athletes. You're seeing young to middle-aged people just all of a sudden have facial issues and heart issues and internal issues. Like, you want to know why we're not all jumping on board for the vaccine, Tony? Maybe it's because we're just using our eyes and seeing things.
Well, think about it this way. My family, my entire family had COVID, including our four-year-old, our two-year-old, now our three-month-old. But when she was basically 2 months old, she tested positive for COVID. And our family physician said, please come in and get tested. We went and got tested. All of us tested positive for COVID. Our little baby girl has the most incredible immunity to COVID now, and it's called natural immunity. Over my dead body, will we stick a needle in any of our children when it comes to the COVID vaccine? Because number one, we still don't know the long-term impacts or effects. Number two, our baby now has natural immunity to COVID. Our baby had COVID. And if our child didn't know, like didn't get tested, we would have no idea. Same with our four-year-old. If we didn't have him get tested, we'd have no idea that he had COVID. And number three, so-called trusting the scientist, Fauci, still telling us to wear a mask indoors. How do you trust anything that comes out of them with their track record.
Let's not forget, this is a man in March of 2020 that openly laughed about wearing masks too. This is the same guy. March of 2020 said, masks aren't going to fix this problem. He said it himself. I didn't say it, right? And, you know, Stefan, I think that's right too. Here's the problem. Let's just call it what it is. Unhealthy people were attacked by this virus, right? Unhealthy people were attacked by this virus. Healthy people were not impacted or very minimally impacted by this virus. Let's call it what it is, right? I know that hurts people's feelings, right? If you don't take care of yourself, you may have issues, but you may have issues with cancer. You may have issues with, you know, other respiratory viruses or whatever it may be, right? It is what it is. I hate to say it, but that's life.
If I didn't know COVID existed,
yeah,
and I was down for the count for about a day and a half, 2 days, I just would have told people, you know, I had some kind of a bug. Wasn't the flu, because I wasn't out for like a full week. You know, I felt bad, really bad for about 2 days, and then it just went away.
Yeah.
So if I didn't know COVID existed, if I didn't get tested for COVID and I was COVID positive along with a bazillion other people on planet Earth, I wouldn't have even known that I had it.
On planet Earth, yeah.
I wouldn't have even known that I had
it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you would have told somebody, son of a bitch, I felt like crap for 3 days.
All right. And I still worked.
Yeah.
But I just felt bad. Yeah. Well, speaking of verbal train wrecks,
yeah,
the one and only, the vice president of the United States, she's almost as bad as Joe Biden.
She might be worse because she actually has her mental ability left.
Well, that's up for debate. But she in her crazy mind, moving now to the issue of abortion, because it's going to be a huge one. Before the Supreme Court, and they usually release their rulings at least this week on a Tuesday and a Thursday. I mean, this is going to be a huge debate, the issue of abortion. But our vice president, she's trying to convince people, you know, Fauci's convincing people still wear a mask indoors. The vice president Harris, she says that if you believe in killing a baby in the womb, it has zero conflict with your faith or church doctrine that clearly states you can't kill babies in the womb and that life begins at conception.
And, you know, for those of us of faith, I think that we agree, many of us, that there's nothing about this issue that will require anyone to abandon their faith or change their faith. It's simply saying that the government should not have the ability to decide what an individual does with her own body.
Like getting the COVID jab.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it?
Isn't it funny?
Interesting.
When it comes to abortion, whoa, wait a minute. Even though there's a beating heart and a life in your belly, government can't tell you what to do with your body. There is a life growing in your body. But hands off, government can't tell us what to do. But when it comes to COVID, you get that jab or...
And you like it.
Right.
Here's my problem too, Stefan. Can we just go back to the fact that this is not a ruling that bans abortion? Can we just go back to that for a minute? This Supreme Court opinion did not ban abortions in our country. How many more times do we have to say that? These going after Supreme Court justices standing outside their house. I don't know if you saw the ones yesterday with those lunatics, you know, looked like blood near their crotch, right? I mean, these people are nuts. And by the way, abortion's not illegal. I don't know what else to say. It's not illegal. They never made a ruling that said abortion is illegal.
All it's going to do, if the leaked opinion holds and it does overturn Roe versus Wade, all it's going to do is basically say, states, you decide. Right. And that's the way it should be.
Yep.
That's exactly the way it should be. States, you decide. Michigan, New York, states like ours, California, unfortunately, abortion will be legal because these states, including New York, decided it's going to be a legal practice. I think it's horrific and wrong, and other states can decide otherwise.
And I'll say this. This is my line of our podcast every week for myself. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. If you're pro-choice, pro-life, when you're seeing what these people are doing outside of Supreme Court justices' homes and the ridiculousness that they're displaying, like the one I said yesterday with people in white pants with looks like blood stains all over their crotch. I mean, it's just the weirdest thing ever.
Who has the time to do that?
But who's sick enough to do it? Again, I don't care what you believe. Is parading around in white pants with fake blood all over them normal?
In their minds.
I mean, they're just nuts. You look at Megan Rapinoe, the soccer player, comes out and says, hey, you know, it's unbelievable what happened with the swimmer Leah Thomas, that she is now barred from competing in swimming with females. Megan, you're a woman that's made all of your money off female sports. Again, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. It doesn't make any sense.
And she won't be making money, and other women won't be making money, yes, won't be getting scholarships if you allow biological men to compete in women's sports.
You can't make this stuff up, though. These people are freaking nuts.
Because they don't give a damn. She doesn't care because she's already made her money.
Right.
She's got her sponsorships. Who cares about the next generation of young girls or young women to compete in sports?
Yep.
Leah Thomas is a biological man. And I don't even know. It's crazy that we're even having the discussion in the United States of America, yeah, about letting a grown man not only compete against women, be in the same locker room as other girls, as a father of two daughters. I don't want any man in or around that sacred space of a locker room being butt naked around other young girls. And it will decimate college and youth sports because it takes away scholarships from all young women.
And again, I go back to, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on with this issue. It doesn't make any sense to compete like that, right? It makes no sense. Men, and Leah Thomas was a man a year ago. This is not like a 5-year-old to a 6-year-old, folks. This is a, whatever you want, 19 to a 20-year-old, right? You are a man competing against women. It's just the most outrageous thing I've ever seen.
But it goes to the issue of indoctrination. You know, when it comes to that trans issue, okay, let's bring children into a gay strip club and have them hand trans strippers money to celebrate Pride Month. Let's do that. Let's indoctrinate children when it comes to that issue. Let's indoctrinate our kids in the classroom, whether it's, you know, the so-called Don't Say Gay Bill in Florida, which never mentions those words, you know, basically banning teachers from talking about those highly sensitive and sexual issues with third grade children. That's all it does. And now there's the indoctrination of the classroom. It still continues, whether it's a trans issue or social issues. It's insane. So, of course, literally, we are in Juneteenth. Yeah. It's a national holiday now. I worked.
I also had my office open today.
I had no idea it was even a holiday. And I looked at my, I get the daily mail or email from the post office. So, what my mail, I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't get mine today. Oh, it's a federal holiday. But anyway, so Juneteenth, national holiday. Everyone's got the day off except working people like us. But instead of asking students to recite the American Pledge of Allegiance in a classroom, teachers are forcing students to fist up and recite the Black Pledge of Allegiance.
Fist up. On the count of three. One, two, three. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the Afro-American people. Under God, I will protect freedom, seek peace, honor our ancestors, and encourage and support the development and prosperity of people of African descent.
Okay. I'm surprised. I'm surprised they can say God in that pledge. That's interesting to me because I thought that was like a anti-pledge thing. Now you can't say God. They said God in that pledge. But the other thing I was going to say was, we wonder why we're still talking about like divisiveness in our country between African American folks and white folks, right? Well, when you push this stuff and you divide by just saying like, we don't want to talk about the real pledge. We're going to go with one that just talks about African American people. I don't believe my pledge says white man anywhere, does it?
No, I haven't said the pledge in a long time,
right? But I never said white people. Our pledge and our national anthem is everyone.
But when you want to think of the issue of education, though, you can almost phrase the argument around capitalism. Because it's almost like a free market where some parents still have that choice. I do. This is one of the reasons why my wife and I are going to homeschool our children.
Yeah.
Because I do not trust sending them to a public school where they will be indoctrinated about being forced to recite a pledge other than the United States Pledge of Allegiance. What teachers are going to say about their sexual orientation, whether or not they're going to bring in, you know, drag queens to read to our kids.
Or sex toys and show them those. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So people of means have the choice. Okay, I'm going to send my child to a private school or I'm going to homeschool. Again, I think of my own childhood growing up at William and Fillmore, young as seven kids, we were dirt poor. My family did not have the choice to say, I'm going to send you to a high priced Christian or private school. We could not afford it. So me, I was trapped in a public school, in which I was very blessed. I had a great public school education, but it's not the case for many other parents. And again, whether it's inflation screwing the lower or middle class, whether it's educational systems that hurt the poor, those are the folks that get hurt the most, the poor and the lower middle class.
And what drives me nuts about this too is, as a big bad white man like me, like I'm the enemy, right? All I want is any race, any gender, whatever it may be, I want you to all have an equal opportunity because that's what makes our country so great. Go to school. Go get an education if you want. Go to a trade school. Go do whatever. Go open up a business somewhere. Whatever you want to do. That's what I love about America. You can do whatever the hell you want to do, right? And no one's going to tell you, no, you can't do that. And that's why this bothers me. When you start doing what that teacher just did and what Tony Cannetta shared with us about some of the CRT in schools, you're already setting kids up for failure. You're already setting them up for failure. You'll never be anything because of the color of your skin. And that white kid over there and his family are the reason you'll never be anything. That is so bad.
And these teachers believe that parents should have zero input on their child's education. It's arrogance where they know best, not parents, not the mother or father that brought you into the world and who is basically raising you.
Mm-hmm.
You know nothing mm-hmm. because these woke radical teachers know best. And, yep. you know, we always go to the libs of TikTok. It's our favorite site on Twitter and social media. And this one teacher actually blasted parents for having the nerve or the audacity to complain that woke radical progressives insisted that a young child identify their pronouns.
So this person was complaining about her son being asked his pronouns at school. First of all, if you think pronouns don't have a place in the classroom, you clearly don't understand grammar. But there's two problems with not asking pronouns to everybody. First, it puts the pressure on the child or teen to come up to a teacher who they may not feel is a safe adult yet and say they don't use their assigned at birth pronouns. And second, it then creates the assumption that if you don't use your assigned he, him, his, or she, her, hers, then you're not normal.
She's not normal.
It's like that scene from Billy Madison at the end where he's talking, the principal's talking, and he's like, what you just said makes us all dumber, right? Like, I don't understand. I don't know. I guess I really struggle with the fact of why we talk about these things with little children. And let alone adults, but I'm going to start with the children part. Why are we forcing kids to, and I'll call it sexualize certain things at 5 years old? Like, why is that something that goes through some of these people's minds?
Especially as an educator.
Right.
I just want you to teach my child. Is my child and future young adult going to be financially literate when they leave high school? Are they going to be able to go to the next step, whether it's college, a trade school, and be successful there? If you're a teacher, I don't care what your orientation is. I don't give a damn what your pronoun is. Teach my child and leave it at that.
And I'll say this. I remember in school when the first day of school, right? The teacher would come in and say, hi, I'm Mr. or Mrs. Smith. I will be your teacher this year. There you go. There's your pronouns. Mrs., Mr., whatever you want to call those. That's how it used to be. They used to put on their syllabus in high school, Mrs. Smith's 10th grade math class. Great. Okay, I'll call her Mrs. Smith. Who says, hi, teacher Bill, he, her? Like, teacher.
X. There's like, so many, I can't keep track of them.
But who does that? Who says that?
But that's the thing. Again, when it comes to forcing your ideology on other people. I don't care if you're a physician. If I'm going to you for a broken bone, just fix my broken bone. If I'm going to the financial guys for financial advice, just tell me where should I invest. If I'm going to you for insurance, and I have, and I am saving a boatload of money by going with Mike for my
great plug,
numerous insurances. I don't care what you are, what you're coming out, what your pronoun is, just save me money. If you're a teacher, just teach my child. Why is it in their arrogance that they think that every part of and facet of their life, including the classroom, is their basically free reign to indoctrinate their ideology, especially on children? What is wrong with these people?
I don't get it. And again, I talk about this stuff like at a, you know, the strip club thing. Like, I wouldn't want to go to a strip club with my adult parents, let alone as a my future children, right? Like, it's just so weird. Why do you want to show little kids that or be around little kids? But before we finish, I do want to say one thing. Did you see Gavin Newsom's on Truth Social now?
He is.
Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Oh,
it took me like 57 years to get an account on Truth Social.
It did me too.
Hey, you're number 4,976,000. We're going to get right to you. And I finally had it. But Gavin Newsom, oh, God bless America. Another example of a woke radical progressive whose entire state has turned into a dumpster fire, like San Francisco. I went to San Francisco probably almost 20 years ago for a conference. And even then, beautiful city 20 years ago. But I'm thinking, wow, the homelessness, and it's a problem. I cannot imagine going to San Francisco, LA, or any part of California right now.
Here's the beauty of this, though, Stefan. He has all these problems in his state, but this is why he's going on Truth Social. This is his reasoning for it. You got to listen to this because you can't make this up. He wants to go tell right wingers the facts. That's why he's going on.
Are you able to play that?
Oh, yeah. Here he goes.
Hey, everybody. It's Governor Gavin Newsom. And again, we are all here with one thing in common, and that's the search for the truth. And the truth is, there was an analysis done recently of the 14 states with the highest COVID death rates. And they had one thing in common. They are all led by Republicans. In fact, you compare California, for example, to Florida, 52% higher death rates, COVID death rates in Florida than California. So my question is a simple one. How do we define pro-life? Hey, everybody, it's Governor.
What? That was the dumbest thing that I've ever heard in my life.
These are what he's doing. He's just posting on these sites. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
I mean, look at how many economies were devastated by COVID and COVID policies put in by extreme woke liberals like Gavin Newsom. Again, the nursing home scandal, not just in New York, we're talking Michigan. The same exact thing happened in the state of Michigan, where they sent seniors stricken with COVID into nursing homes around other healthy seniors, and it killed them. It killed them. It killed businesses. It killed seniors. And I will take a state of Florida any day of the week over the People's Republic of California.
This was his first post on Truth Social. I got to just play this one.
Let's hear it.
This is a great one.
Hey, everybody. It's Governor Gavin Newsom. And I know we're all on this platform in search for the truth. But the truth is, I've not been able to find a simple explanation for the fact that we have a red state murder problem. 8 of the top 10 states with the highest murder rates happen to be red states. So the question is simple. What are the laws and policies in those states that are leading to such carnage?
Let's not talk about the heroin use on the streets of your state. Let's not talk about the mass murders that are happening to African-American children in Chicago and New York City. Let's just deflect that and then say it's a red state problem.
I was going to say, has he been to Chicago, New York City, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles? God bless America. Just dumpster fires of city that I would never take my children to.
And again, Gavin, figure out your homelessness problem, your people shitting on the streets problem, your drug use problem, not you personally, but your citizens, right? Figure that out before you start figuring out everybody else's problem. Because right now you have the worst run state in the country, and it's getting worse and worse by the hour.
And we'll be taking our family to the Outer Banks, North Carolina, for our family vacation, because we sure as hell will not be going to Chicago, San Francisco, LA, Portland, or Seattle.
I think we're going to wrap it there.
That's a great place to wrap it up there. I threw up in my mouth when I heard Gavin Newsom say that.
I had to play that because I didn't know if you saw that, and it was just terrible. Folks, for Stefan Mihailu and I, thanks for listening. We are actually hosting the radio show together this weekend. So we have the show together on Saturday, 1-3 on WBEN. If you need more of your Mike and Glenn fix, check out their podcast, the Financial Guys Podcast. And Mike Hayflick and I also do TFG Truth. If you need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS. Until next week, folks, we will be back, and I'm sure we'll have a great time Saturday. Thanks again.